When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am your host today, for the first time in ages, Robert Borthwick, and I am delighted on this Scottish Cup weekend, a weekend that makes absolutely no bearing on my life right now. I'm joined by Mr. Tony Anderson. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm grand, mate. Yeah, thanks for having me. I know it's been a bad time for a Hearts fan, obviously, for this, but it is genuinely the third round. Yeah, this is the thing I mean, I miss the most for no fans, I would say, over the whole year. It's the best weekend of them all in Scottish football, I would say.
You're rubbing it right in, but you're absolutely spot on. Like Scottish Cup third round weekend, when the big hitters enter the tournament and start playing against smaller, shall we say, more jobber teams from around Scottish football. It always is jam-packed with fun and frolics and action. And, you know, on that note, what myself and Tony are going to be taking you listeners through today is the big winners and the big losers of the Scottish Cup weekend. You know, I'll jump straight off with a loser, which is Heart of Midlothian Football Club. We might as well just cover that off now, right? So Hearts are the biggest loser this weekend. They didn't even take part. Motherwell scudded a Highland League team. Stranraer beat the team that put Hearts out in the last round. Hearts are losers, mate. And, you know, it's therapeutic to say that out loud. So we'll get that one out of the way straight off the bat.
There we go. I mean, there's not much more I can add to that. I mean, Hearts are taking enough bullets, and there's enough Hibs fans on Twitter that are sticking the needle into you, I'm sure, Robert. But it was, I wish I could have been on the podcast the day after the Brora Rangers fiasco. But it's the beauty of the cup, though, and it's unfortunate it has to happen to your team, if you like, but it's the reason they will enjoy it. And I do think it is the Scottish Cup is possibly, I think, my favourite tournament on the planet. I think it's different from other countries. I think because we've got the issue in this country of the skewed top flight that only two clubs can realistically win it. But what comes off that, the positive angle that comes off that is that the cup competition becomes everything to nearly every team. And I believe that Rangers and Celtic as well still care about this tournament. And it's not like it is maybe in Spain, Italy, even Germany, England especially, where they don't seem to really matter. But here, I think it's still the Scottish Cup final is still the prime moment. And I think even third round weekend is the best. But I also think semi-final weekend in the Scottish Cup, just, I don't know, in recent years, I've always found it's normally quite spectacular. And I think that's something that we should hold in pride in Scottish football, really.
I completely agree with you. I know as a Hibs fan, you're probably only saying that you love the Scottish Cup because of what happened 5 years ago, and that's fine, Tony. We understand. But no, you're absolutely right. It's it brings the magic, and it brings sort of like the big teams versus the wee teams is something I always love watching. It's always like that low winter sunshine on a bobbly football pitch and two teams kicking slogs out each other. Absolutely magic. Absolutely magic. Now, we should get into some winners. We should also get into some losers. Tony, I will leave it up to you if you want to start on a positive or if you want to start on a negative. Where do you want to take us in this Scottish Cup weekend?
Well, let's go back to Friday night. That's the first game. And so Inverness, Caledonia and Thistle. I managed to catch this game. And as I was saying to you off air, I'll be honest, my knowledge of lower leagues isn't the best. I know we've got sort of specific people on this podcast who know it extremely well, but I fair enjoyed that. Obviously, I had the bit of Scott Allen. For me, as a Hibs fan, it was great to see Scott Allen back on the pitch. I thought it was interesting watching him. One thing I really enjoyed Scott Allen is that his best period in the game sort of came maybe between the 50th minute and the 70th minute when he went off, which I thought was really interesting because obviously we've got his fitness issues. I think it's a great deal for everyone involved. I saw some Hibs fans were a bit perplexed, but it's not Scott Allen that we had last season or the season before. And I just thought this move is absolutely perfect for everyone. And it was interesting for him as well, because he gets to go to Inverness, who when he arrived were as likely to get relegated as they were to be going into the playoffs. But it's such an interesting way. So Neil McCann going in as a manager, and I hope whatever's going on with John Robertson ends up fine. But it's really brought a lot of interest by a guy like Scott Allen turn up there, who's sort of like one of the sort of maverick players left in Scottish football. And obviously everyone's interested about the health issues and how he's going to move on. And then Inverness having Neil McCann coming back to management. And it's all looking pretty good for Inverness just now. And I thought they were absolutely superb. They turned Ross County over, even though sort of Billy Mackay put Ross County ahead.
No, 100%. I have got the entire game here as a winner, but I've dubbed it the Mackay Derby. Obviously, Daniel scoring, Billy scoring, and Brad just being there as well. So many Mackays on the pitch, and so many of them having such a big impact on how the game went as well. I just thought it was like a proper, like, the game was being played like it was the last 10 minutes of the game for about like 55 minutes. It was end to end. You had a wonderful goal scored by Daniel Mackay in the second half. And, you know, if you want to call them that, the underdog winning at the end as well. And I think that's always something that you want to see, unless it's Hearts versus Brora in the Scottish Cup. You always want to see the underdog putting up that big fight and getting the big win. But I think, like, in terms of Scottish football generally, the Highland Derby has been one of the most consistently good sort of entertaining derbies for quite a long time now. When I saw the draw come out, I saw it was a live game on a Friday night. I was like, I'm no missing that. That'll have something about it. And it did. And like you said, you know, the added intrigue of Scott Allen sort of being involved, I was really interested to see how he played. I think you're right. I think his best moments did come in the second half more than in the first. But altogether, just a really good game. Some cracking goals in there as well. So fair play to the Mackay Derby, the El Kessico, whatever you want to call it. It was I thought it was excellent. Really good game.
Yeah, you're totally right. It's been like, I mean, I remember it well because the first year I ever got involved with the podcast, I think, was the year that I think there was the Highland Derby. It had been brought into the top flight. So I've watched it since then. So I remember all those years ago, I think Celtic beat Barcelona. And I remember Joel Sked was on a podcast and they asked what his moment of the season was. And he said it was the Highland Derby rather than Tony Watt scoring a winner against an undefeated Barcelona, the greatest team that's ever lived. And that's just another example of the pettiness that we know that Joel Sked carries on a daily basis. I was going to ask, do you know how old is Daniel Mackay? I never even looked. I don't know much about him, but I obviously was hugely impressed.
It feels like he's been around for years and years, but he made his breakthrough as a very young 16-year-old. So it's not as if he was 16 going on 17. He was brought into the team and made an impact, got a couple of goals, couple of assists. I think he's still only 19. He played in the Challenge Cup final a couple of years ago as well. And he's just like, he's a cracking prospect. I think they've done well to kind of protect him maybe a wee bit. in sort of recent years, not playing him week in, week out, and sort of taking the expectations off his shoulders a wee bit. But Cali Thistle generally have, you know, they have exciting young players, and Daniel Mackay is kind of maybe the pinnacle of that. But they've got like Roddy McGregor and Cameron Harper and stuff like that. They've got a really entertaining young team, and obviously putting like Scott Allen into that as well helps a lot. Helps with the creation for the players further forward. But no, Daniel Mackay is a cracking prospect, and when they tied him down to a new deal, I was really impressed because there were other teams sort of sniffing around him at that time. But you know, he's beginning to build out and bulk out a wee bit more as well. So he's a cracking new prospect.
And I was looking in terms of a loser, maybe for the same game. Obviously, I think I was saying this on a podcast last week. I don't think John Hughes has had that much of an impact on Ross County at all. I think they still have the same sort of issues. They still win games, but they were winning games occasionally under Kettlewell as well. They've obviously got a decent enough squad. I just don't see really where he's made huge sort of strides. Maybe the one thing I would say, maybe they don't play such a suicidal high line as they did under Kettlewell. So, but I don't really look at that. I think that would just be any manager would come in and go, let's steady a bit and drop out. But that's the difference. Like, Kettlewell wanted to be expansive, and I thought that John Hughes would be quite similar, but he's slightly more cautious, maybe. And it's still not great, and I can still see them going down. And it will be the black mark against John Hughes that finally rids us of John Hughes in our Scottish football lives. Someone that I was really disappointed with was Hideljay, the left back. I know he's very young, maybe only 17 or 18, but he's played a lot this season, and I've never really ever been impressed.
He is really young, and I think it needs to be sort of remembered. He did have a good game a few weeks ago where he was kind of key in a Ross County victory. He scored a goal, and you know, it was one of those sort of like, right, maybe he has a proper exciting prospect. It's one of those you've got to remember. He is 17. He didn't have a good game, and he was sort of ran ragged every single time. It seemed every single time Cali got the ball. It's a tough one, eh? It's never easy putting a young player into a poor team, and I think that, you know, especially when you've got that expectation on them as well. You know, a team battling towards the bottom end of the table, struggling for form, and then you're putting in this guy who's not got the wherewithal. Or the experience to kind of take that on, and it looked like it sort of manifested itself a wee bit on Friday as well. So, yeah.
But there must be something. There must be. I'm going to keep an eye on him, because anyone who's not just in the team but seems to be playing pretty much week in, week out for a top-flight team, you've got to assume must be doing something right. So, again, you don't want to criticise too much, but it has been, as I said, it was just an accumulation of times that I've watched County where I've never really been enamoured, but I'm sure there'll be something there. I don't know if you wanted to add anything else about John Hughes that I mentioned. I didn't interrupt you at the end there, Robert.
No, not at all. I think John Hughes is finding himself on another slippery slope. I think there was a lot of redemption stories around, obviously, what he did at Raith Rovers and then potentially going to a bigger team. Well, you know, debatably bigger team in a different division, and you know, saving them, but they don't inspire me with any confidence. Instead of a suicidal high line, it's now just a suicidal lower line. We'll move on from the Highland Derby. I'm going to go for a loser here, and one that's close to my heart because it's social media. But Falkirk's social media team slagging off Ryan Christie for a shot on goal that didn't go in, and then him 10 minutes later banging one into the back of the net, ending the game as a contest with doing that as well. You've always got to. I know that the live tweeting of games is a high octane, high pressurized environment, but just don't.
High risk.
Well, high risk, high reward, but they did not get reward for this one because Ryan Christie slammed one in about 2 minutes later. There wasn't too much to say about this game as well. Like, you know, Celtic won, they were expected to win. I think Falkirk did well to hold them until, you know, just after half time with what was a sort of second string side for Falkirk as well. But no, that was the one that stood out for me, was the small time behaviour of the Falkirk social media team coming back and biting them in the hoop when Christie scored.
The funny thing it would be is that I think Christie's taken a lot of stick on social media from his own fans this season, right? Because there's been a lot of some people a bit more tongue in cheek about the fact he does love to hit shots, and he does. There's no getting away from it that he loves to hit shots. But I think it's maybe one of the lads maybe said it on another podcast, but there's sort of similarities between Ryan Christie's, like, well, Stuart Armstrong's last season at Celtic and Ryan Christie now. It looks like the end where sort of we all, he was such a popular player, everyone rates him really highly, and then sort of one bad season in an underperforming team. And he becoming a bit of a joke figure, and there you go, Falkirk feeding into that and getting their fingers burnt right away. But I would, I would watch myself, because I think Ryan Christie, he's undoubtedly, I often think maybe he's the most talented player in the league, along with maybe Edward. He's not the best player in the league, but that word that maybe we use quite a lot is ceiling. I think Christie does have a really high ceiling, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was a shock and he went to an actually relatively big club like Arsenal or Southampton or like someone like that and actually doing pretty well. I get the feeling that Christie, if he put him in around better players on his wavelength, I think would really come through. So Falkirk, maybe learn your lessons there. Yeah,
that's it. That's exactly it. Where do you want to take us next, Tony?
You mentioned Brora earlier. And it was like maybe a bit of a loser was the camera angle at Brora Rangers for the highlights. I found that you could actually see past the linesman at one point. How low down? I know nothing. I mean, you're involved in media with the studio, obviously, Rob. But I've known nothing about it. But I'm positive you're not meant to lie on the ground when you're trying to shoot when you're the only one camera at the game. And I think there was quite a few ones like that. And I know it's tough in the lower leagues, and I know it costs, but I found that sort of weird why that would be a thing.
Aye, it's like they brought the wrong size of tripod for the camera. It's like they thought, like, you know, we'll bring the 5-footer, and then they ended up just bringing like one of those tiny wee tripods. That just on the floor. Either that or it was dug into a pit. I'm not too sure, but aye, that was it's jarring to see camera angles from that low down. It's like being at Hampden. Can you see a thing?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But you got any more winners for us, Rob?
So I've got like a double-ended like winner and loser in the same breath that I'm going to go for here. So the winner is Russell McLean of Montrose Football Club. Scored the over the round by a distance overhead kick. He was completely off balance as well. Like the way he sort of manoeuvred his body, got himself back over it, and then overhead kick straight over the goalkeeper into the back of the net. Absolutely amazing. Like goal of the weekend for me. Absolute winner. But the loser from this scenario is Lee Hamilton of Edinburgh City, who also scored an overhead kick, but no one's going to talk about it because it wasn't as good as Russell McLean's. And they ended up losing the tie as well, obviously. But just like two fantastic goals, two great overhead kicks. But Rusty McLean is the one that will grab the headlines because it was the winning goal and it was just a better overhead kick. So I feel sorry for Lee Hamilton, but I think we still need to pay him lip service at the very least because it was a cracking overhead kick.
And it's fun. It sort of warms the heart a bit when you're watching the Scottish Cup third round, that it's the weekend where these sort of guys are going to be on Sports Scene rather than just on maybe their own TV channels or their own YouTube channels for the highlights. So it's really cool when you see that, and it paints the sort of lower leagues in such a positive light for people, and that excitement. And actually, a winner really would be goals in general in this one, because as you said, Lee Hamilton had his overhead kick, Russell McLean had his, Thomas Orr at Stranraer, it was an absolute peach that he called it in. And then St Mirren, we had McGrath doing a really unique sort of chipped goal. I don't even know really how he managed it, because it was really quite close in for him to do that. And then Dennis putting in sort of a curling effort into the top corner, which actually might bring me on to a loser quite quickly, which might have to be sort of Hamilton and Brian Rice, Robert, after what can only be described as a bit of a meltdown for old Brian Rice.
That was the next loser on my list, was Chipper and his post-match out. I mean, it's stronger than an outburst. That was absolutely something else. It sounded, and it, like, fair play to him for saying, like, I'm not shouting at you guys when speaking to the media. Mm-hmm. But it sounded like he was shouting at the media guys. He was absolutely furious and seemed to be hinting towards some sort of anti-Hamilton conspiracy.
Which is always the best thing. I mean, Scottish football's full of it. There's normally more two clubs who sort of divulge in this type of behaviour. But It's the idea that sort of Hamilton are being sort of against the might of St Mirren, who being that's such a bizarre sort of concept. And I don't get me wrong, I do know what he means. I can imagine smaller clubs do feel this way quite a lot in other leagues, and they don't get the same. I mean, I would get if he's maybe talking about coverage, but like this idea that they don't, that people don't defend when they get sort of penalty decisions against them, or no one talks them up and no one talks about their injury problems. I mean, I mean, our podcast is sort of relatively sized, and I know you guys on the TV show as well, you'd be considered the media of Scottish football. And I never see that Hamilton get that bad a rap. I think we talk about them quite positively. I mean, Ross Callaghan, we get in it. Bruce Anderson, I think people have been excited about. I don't really see his point that what people are actively against Hamilton. I don't really understand that.
Tony, we have literally been calling them cockroaches for the last 5 years. So, I mean, you know.
Maybe we're. Yeah, just because I say Bruce Anderson's good 1 week, that wipes out calling them cockroaches for 5 years.
But not like, listen, you always see managers angry and upset at decisions, refereeing decisions. I think obviously that's always magnified in cup games as well, because it's not as if you can say it evens itself out over the course of a season, because you've just got that one game and then you're left reeling a wee bit towards, you know. It won't even itself out in the season. I would also like to laugh at Joel Sked, because his banker bust prediction on the TV show on the last one was that Hamilton would get relegated but also win the Scottish Cup. So Joel Sked strikes again. incredible track record on the lad.
Humped out the first time they get played. I do like the my favourite quote in reading it. It's a Daily Record article. Brian Rice, the rest of the game we dominated, but you'll never write that because we're Hamilton. My opinion, will not write it because we're fucking Hamilton. Sorry, we are Hamilton. But I like it because I'm reading it, which means that they must have wrote it.
The swear words were particularly unexpected. You don't often hear that in the recorded interviews from managers. So fair play to him. He was speaking.
Maybe it's 4D chess. He's taking all the pressure off the players. Old chipper. He's solving it, and everyone's now talking about him swearing. But it's just this idea that Hamilton don't get credit for anything. I don't think I agree with that. I think they maybe get backhanded credit, like calling them cockroaches, but that it's meant with, I certainly say it with a warm heart, is that they punch above their weight quite considerably all the time. And maybe he just doesn't like it because he might be the one that makes them their way and they drop down the division.
Now, listen, cockroach is a backhanded compliment. You know, their survival skills are second to none. So, you know, just take it as it's meant, Hamilton. But yeah, maybe they don't get the column inches. But at the same time, that's not what's most important. So I think he was obviously just angry at a few things and was lashing out. Still very emotional after the game, but absolutely 100% a complete loser of this weekend. So,
welcome,
Chipper, you're a loser, mate. I've got another winner here, which is Mr. Nicholas Nicky Clark of Dundee United, for what I would deem as a really quite blatant foul leading to his goal for Dundee United's 91st minute winner, when he just shoves Mohamed Niang straight into the goalkeeper, clatters him out of the way, and then he's got an empty net to roll the ball into. I mean, that is a liquid Scottish Cup right there. I think Thistle played really well. Well, played well throughout the 90 minutes. Maybe didn't deserve that. But no, Nicky Clark, I mean, fair play. You are a winner for just really blatantly fouling someone in the lead up to a goal and it's still being given. Fair play.
In the last minute as well. it's one that you see all the time, that foul getting given when a striker sort of frustrated that they can't get there ahead of them and they just petulantly push them and then roll it into an empty glass. I feel like I've seen that clip 100 times, but actually this time he gets to run away celebrating. And I mean, Ian McCall took it quite well, I thought, at the end when I saw his interview. He seemed quite calm because compared to Brian Rice going insane about a penalty that we made it 3-0 on the day, and Nicky Clark pushes someone to win the match and knock Partick out, the sort of dignity held at the end of it was quite stark from Ian McCall. I'll go for another one. This is a man who is so close to being a loser, but turned out a winner, and that would be Xander Clark at St Johnston. He seems that he got away with an awful lot in this game, but still ended up saving a penalty, which obviously in the history books, that'll look good. But I mean, for the goal that got disallowed, it's offside, I think, that gets given. He just totally drops the ball and it gets put in. And then the penalty he gives away is psychotic. He just absolutely loses it, runs out to the edge of the 18-yard box at an angle and clatters and clears him out. And then he gets a save, but then eventually goes home with a clean sheet and another victory for St Johnstone. So I thought Dander Clark, in a bizarre way, ends up, he got the last laugh, needless to say.
Absolutely, it was vintage Sander Clark throughout that game. You know, moments of atrocity followed by, to be fair, a loser in this should absolutely be Charles Adam for one of the worst penalty kicks I think I've seen in quite a long time. Sort of rolling it quite tamely towards Clark's left hand side. Fancy myself to save that one, Tony. Fancy myself to save it, but yeah, Sander Clark, I think, is absolutely fair and kind of on along the same lines. I've put a winner as Sam Ramsbottom of Dumbarton. I thought, you know, he will forever, and it doesn't matter how well he plays, he will forever be known as the man who thumped the ball off Ryan McGeever's arsehole for one of the most comical own goals of all time. However, he played really, really well against Aberdeen. You know, the save that he made from Lewis Ferguson's header was absolutely brilliant, and there were so many other occasions during the game where his shot stopping was just absolutely top class. I mean, he is a bit of a loser for wearing the tightest shorts I have ever seen on a goalkeeper. Honestly, like I felt like I could see the veins, Tony. I felt like nothing was being left to the imagination. But I thought Sammy Ramsbottom, fair play to him, because you know a lot of goalkeepers would wilt after that calamity that he had the other week there. But that's a couple of really good performances in a row for him. And this one, obviously, being on national telly against a top-flight side. No, fair play to him. Fair play to him.
And it was like, it's bizarre for a goalkeeper to want to wear anything tight. Surely agility and freedom of movement are high on your list of priorities when you get dressed in the morning for a match.
You would think so. I was half expecting him to sort of go for one with his feet and just the shorts to rip at the arse. A real sort of comedy style.
Which has happened to me, Rob, when I played five-a-sides in New Zealand. It was like it was a mixed league. I was playing five-a-sides and I couldn't find the football shorts, which I'm wearing right now, like a pair of Sondico, just a plain pair of Sondico. So I ended up just wearing like a pair of like sort of more fashionable, relatively tight black polka dot with multicolored polka dots on them shorts to play. And I went to goals and I made a save with my leg, the inside of my leg, and it just ripped. And I just had to play the rest of the game with my arse hanging out, essentially, with boxers on. So, and as I said, that was in a mixed league. So, lucky I never really got arrested, frankly. But
imagine that. You end up on some sort of register in New Zealand just for playing football with small shorts. That would be an absolute nightmare.
I'll go back to the St Johnstone game and a winner. My favourite moment of the entire weekend is Lee Ashcroft's sliding header tackle. I could watch that all day, every day, just because it looks all so... The first time I see it, I wasn't sure what happened. And then when you watch a slow motion replay, it's like, yep, he's completely deliberately done that. It was like a premeditated sliding header tag. It wasn't just like something's went wrong and he's ended up flat on his face trying to header it, which I think we've seen a few times in Scottish football where they end up just scrambling on the ground and sort of trying to, sort of like a fish out of water, trying to header it away. But this one was sort of like doing a Klinsmann to then use his head to get away. And fair enough, it worked. So who am I to say that isn't the way to normally go about your defending?
100%. It's Fjortoft did it for...
That was it, yeah.
Against Hearts earlier on in the season. There's an amazing picture of Fjortoft's face just buried into the turf that I think the Terrace Podcast Twitter account put some tweets out about. And I think like... And I know our listeners will correct me on this. I think it was Cowdenbeath versus Berwick Rangers a few years ago. And a guy tried to do that and sort of header the ball away, but ended up just emptying the man and giving away a penalty, and which was one of the best penalty decisions I've ever seen in my life. Just headering this boy's ankles out the way. I think a real warrior spirit about that. Just literally asking for your head to get volleyed off his neck. Fair play. Fair play.
What else you got? Well, I mean, I was going to ask you, Rob. Obviously, I saw James Forrest got his first start against Celtic. I know he went into that maybe the interest, and he managed to get a goal. What would be your feelings on James Forrest maybe putting something together towards this season and making a late run for that Scotland squad, which might even get extended? Now they're saying that might get a couple of extra spots, because I was starting to think, would he maybe get brought along to play a similar role to Ryan Fraser? Or what do you think? Do you think there's a chance that, that he could get a spot?
I think he might end up getting saved by the potential extra spots in the squad. So it's maybe going up to 25 or 26 because they've allowed the 5 substitution rule now as well. James Forrest, a couple of years ago, was one of my favourite players in Scotland. Absolutely just non-stop for Celtic. Goals, assists. I think one season he got like 16, 17 goals and about the same number in assists as well. Absolutely flying. But I think because he's been out for so long this season and because Steve Clarke has now found the nucleus of a squad that he really, really likes, it could spell, you know, unfortunately for James Forrest, some bad news for him, because there is players who have come in, pardon me, who can play in that position, but also who have kind of excelled a wee bit in that position as well. And Ryan Fraser, obviously, is the most obvious example of that. Down the left-hand side, you've got some sort of weird Andy Robertson, Kieran Tierney double attack focus thing now going on as well. So I think, you know, James Forrest, what you'll get is work rate. Could he maybe play in a wing-back position if it is a back three that we go for? Very possibly. But at the same time, Stephen O'Donnell's come in and, you know, in the last couple of games, he's played really, really well as well. So is there a place in the squad for him? I would say right now, very, very possibly, but it's not a guarantee. I think a couple of years ago, James Forrest was a guarantee for every single Scotland squad, but I think injuries at the wrong time are maybe just going to elbow him out of the way slightly. But I wouldn't be terribly upset if he did make the squad, but for me, he wouldn't even be a starter just now anyway.
Yeah, because I think you're right. That might help him out is maybe the fact that if we were behind in a game, he could come on and maybe, as you said, play in a wing-back role. I wouldn't imagine he'd start in there. But I mean, if we were looking for goals and go more attacking, and interesting enough, in this game for Celtic there, he seemed to be playing off Griffiths in a bit of a more central position, which is most likely where, in terms of the shape that Clarke seems to be going for, maybe those dual tens, if you like. I mean, when we're at our best and we're attacking, I would say, and other people maybe say that we play a 3-6-1, but like, I mean, at our good times. So that was it'd be interesting for him to keep playing in that role for Celtic towards the end, because I'd imagine that would be the place that he could vacate. Something else might work for him is we aren't blessed with an abundance of pace, natural pace in the squad. And so maybe James Forrest. So there's something to be had there, and it'll be interesting. It'll keep something interesting for us going forward with Celtic, since obviously season outside that Scottish Cup looks pretty much over. And those Old Firm games, if I'm James Forrest, I'd be champing at the bit to get to play in those, because there'll be the games everyone's watching and everyone will be having analysis of it. And if he could do something in those games, then a bit of momentum comes, people start asking for it. Don't get me wrong, now Clarke doesn't seem like the guy who'll get swayed too much from social media, but you know what I mean. Get everyone talking and get that train going for James Forrest to go there. I think an obvious one, Kyle Lafferty, Robert, yeah. Your main man, Kyle Lafferty. 100%. Talk me through it.
All I've put here next to Kyle Lafferty is what a player, what a hat trick, what a smile. Just an absolute sweetheart, but also he's not a sweetheart. But I think even more than the fact that he scored a hat trick against Stenhouse Muir is the sort of the ray of hope that he is giving Killie fans right now as a proper, you know, number 9 striker, maybe the best they've seen since the likes of Chris Boyd potentially, and having the same impact and being a real talisman for this Killie team that's kind of been screaming out for someone like that. You know, Brophy certainly was a cracking player for them previously. He obviously moved on to Pastures New, and they needed a number 9 that's going to harry defenders and hassle them, and, you know, not necessarily be the best team player, but just be an out-and-out goal scorer, a guy that will shoot from anywhere because he knows he's got that confidence in himself that he's going to hit the back of the net. And that was just exampled against Stenhouse Muir. 3 goals, all of them, you'd expect him kind of to score, to be honest. That they were all kind of Kyle Lafferty goals, but he's just providing Killie fans with some hope right now, and with the season that they've had, he's exactly what they need. He's doing for Kilmarnock fans what he did for Hearts fans, which was just becoming this like guy that you used to absolutely fucking hate. Now, but now you cannot help but love him because of what he brings to your team. And he brings that shithousing element as well. You know, he brings a bit of swagger. No, Kyle Lafferty was third on my list of winners. He was that high, mate. Even though it was just against Stenny, no offence, Craig Telfer. But, you know, he still has to go there and score the goals. And, yeah, he's doing a lot for Kelly fans right now. And they need a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'd done the top five one for the Patreon with Alan Temple. And he said, son, it was brilliant. Like, his record post-Christmas, going into sort of the business end of the season, is like 22 goals in 45 games or something like that. And then before that, it's like 5 goals before that. So just when times get tough and someone needs to step up, it's like he's motivated by that. It's like you get players like that who care. And this is the point we're making on that Patreon, is it doesn't really matter why they're motivated. If it's something that maybe you don't like so much, maybe he is angling for a move. Maybe he probably knows that he's coming to the stage of his career where maybe he's got one more half decent contract in him, or he can stay at Kilmarnock. But who cares? Because he's the absolute man. And for Kilmarnock now, and it's really interesting the bottom half of the Scottish Premiership is like January signings of strikers have been like a real ray of hope for team. Like obviously Bruce Anderson, he hasn't scored lots of goals, but he's sort of brought a brand new element to Hamilton's play and made them much more easy on the eye and given them much more alternatives to how they can play. Jordan White, I mean, again, his form's tailed off slightly, but he's won them about 6 to 9 points directly, even coming off the bench. Scored against Celtic. He scored in that against Hamilton when he came off the bench and Billy Mackay scored the winner set up. And then obviously Kyle Lafferty. So these are huge signings that are having a massive part to play. But something, and George Oakley as well, coming off the bench, that'll be a big one for Tommy Wright, and that's it for his first goal for Kilmarnock, and that'll be important because they'll need as many of those goals as they can going forward. But I wanted to ask your opinion, Robert, on the Partick Thistle away strip. I know you're a man who likes your football strips.
Not a huge fan.
Ah, okay.
Do you know what annoyed me the most about the Partick Thistle top was they weren't wearing their squad numbers. They had a 1-11 system and no names on the back, and that just put me off straight away. It kind of felt like I felt a wee bit like Saturday mornings, Sunday league sort of vibe. Partick Thistle, all I think about when I think of their ships this season is that half and half effort that is being sold, and it's just it doesn't fill me with joy, Tony. It doesn't fill me with joy. Were you a fan of it? Is that what you're trying to say to me?
When I saw it, I thought I quite liked the minimal effort of it. It looked really, really traditional. But again, I know exactly where you're coming from. It looked more like just a nice top, and it just wasn't an actual football strip. And I get what you mean now. But I thought it looked relatively cool as a top. But yeah, it didn't look like a football strip.
It's I'm looking at it again. Yeah, it is just a top, isn't it?
Aye.
Yeah.
It doesn't even look like it's the right football strip material.
No, they've just taken something else entirely.
They'll be lining up next week in loads of nice shirts.
One thing I do like is the badge. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
It's the sort of the more traditional thistle with what am I even trying to say here? The wee hang that goes underneath it. It doesn't matter, Tony.
Embroidery? I don't know.
Embroidery? Let's go for it. Let's say embroidery. I think the only other winner that I have here is Greenock Morton, and that was not because of the fact it's Greenock Morton, but they won a cup tie the way it's meant to be won, being behind for about 80 minutes, sclaffing a 90th minute penalty and then scoring the winner in the second time, second half extra time. Just absolutely perfect way to win a cup tie. That's how you do it.
Smash and grab. I was sort of a bit of a loser, and this might sound really harsh because Cove Rangers were playing at Ibrox, but I watched a bit of that game, and if it was deliberate, Paul Hartley, the bravery of getting his team to sort of play passing football out from defence is commendable, I suppose, but it was like the game was lost, and the frustrating thing is Rangers missed a few chances, and Cove could have stayed in there a lot longer. And then they just sort of gifted Rangers goals, just genuinely, like, so brave, trying to play one-touch passing inside their own box. How, like, basically the kind of moves that you would see in the Champions League or at the top flight of the English, in the top half of the English Premier League, where teams are so well drilled that it doesn't bother them that they're under pressure. They're completely calm and they keep on making the triangles and the angles to come out for defence. So if that's how they're playing in day-to-day in the league, I'm sure it's really good to watch. But Rangers players couldn't believe their luck. And so Jermaine Defoe scored a goal where he just, the most Defoe goal ever. He got the ball, he made a sharp turn, which he always does. And then they allowed him just to take three further touches towards the box. And then still nobody bothered trying to block him. And he hit a shot into the bottom corner like he's been doing for, well, most of our lives, really, Jermaine Defoe. But yeah, it sounds harsh, but I thought it was a bit bizarre watching Cove Rangers try and do that.
It was strange, especially against a team that's so good at pressing. Probably the best pressing team in Scotland. Definitely the best team in Scotland. Fair play to them. It takes a lot of balls to try and do that. Tony, I think we're done here.
I can't see any more. Yeah, I mean, other words, maybe Ramsey Aberdeen looked pretty exciting as a young player.
I like him.
Coming at fullback, that was good to see. A loser, Aberdeen, they still got through it, but those issues were really laid bare that they've got that they've had. Well, that second goal in 11, and sort of Hendry's now looking like a bit of a, he's going to be like a saviour, even though people were doubting that as a transfer, if it was a smart move. And Stephen Glass has a lot of work on his hands because, maybe as a Hibs fan, I'll maybe chuck in Folk Canberry because he looked absolutely fucking dreadful Aberdeen in that game.
He looked absolute guff. I would say Dean Campbell didn't fill me with a great amount of joy in that game either. But Calvin Ramsey, I'll give you that. I thought he looks like a crack in the process, especially seeing as like his first touch of the game, he let the ball roll under his foot and go for a throw-in. And I was like, oh dear, what's going to happen here? But he was great. His delivery as well of both feet was fantastic. I like the look of him.
I liked what you said about Campbell off air. I never know where he's playing. He just turns up at random positions on the park and gives the ball away. Listen,
Tony, I couldn't think of a better way to describe it than that. He just shows up and gives it away. They're like, Dean Campbell's still playing. But, you know, given the benefit of the doubt, he's a young man and he's getting a lot more game time, which is good, seeing as Derek McInnes obviously isn't famed for giving youth a chance. So, yeah, good to see him still getting a bit of
game. And Vaughan scoring for Raith Rovers again after getting a double the week before in the Fife Derby. That is really exciting for Sean, of course, and Andy, but for Raith in general, because if they can go to the playoffs, Regan Hendry, I mean, I've watched a bit of Raith in the last couple of weeks, so it was good. Regan Hendry looking on such form. Obviously, the guy's on loan for Hibs. Looking really, really strong with that. He scored a couple of goals. And then, as I said, Vaughan being back, who's sort of should be playing at a higher level, but these injuries have stopped him. Keep him fit towards the end. And I really wouldn't want to be going up against that Raith Rovers team in a playoff, especially when they've only had 27 games. And they won't be tired going into like a normal end of season playoff. I would start to get a bit worried about the team that's in 11th.
100%. And I think you're spotting on what you're saying. If Lewis Vaughan had no injuries, he wouldn't be a Raith Rovers player right now. He would be a division above. I think he's, you know, when he's fully fit and firing, he's a top flight footballer. 100%. He's a cracking player. And it is, you know, you saw like on A View from the Terrace, there was a feature on him and going through his injuries and stuff. And you know, his mentality is just absolutely amazing as well. He's still only like 24 or something like that. He's still a young man. Still got a lot in him. Cracking player, cracking goal as well. So, absolutely. I'm on the Lewis Vaughan bus, mate. I'm there. I'm with you.
Brilliant.
Nice one. Any more for any more? Are you all good?
No, I'm all good, mate. I enjoyed that going through the Scottish Cup. Thanks very much.
No, it's not a problem at all. And I, as an outsider looking into the Scottish Cup this year, it was very, very enjoyable for me to have a look as well. So thank you all very much for listening. It's always massively appreciated. Me and Tony are about to bugger off and record our Patreon as well. Obviously, if you do not yet follow our Patreon, please do. You can do so for as little as $2 a month. Great value. Uh-huh. You've got so much weekly content coming out there as well that you'll end up falling behind on it and probably not listening to it all anyway. So give us a follow on Patreon, give us a follow on Twitter if you don't already. Thanks again for listening. Thank you, Tony Anderson.
Cheers.
And thank you all. Good night.
Sports Social Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.